Good afternoon, everyone. Can you please give your seatmate a warm handshake for a while and tell your seatmate, I'm so glad I am here this afternoon. We are down to the eighth and last installment of our series called Truth Be Told. If you were with us the past two Sundays, I wasn't the one who preached here, but we had Pastor Dennis C. from Victory Green Hills, who was with us. After that, Randall Tiongson, the president of RFP, the Registered Financial Planners of the Philippines, I was actually here to minister to us as well. Now, this afternoon, we are basically concluding our series. We have been looking at the different parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have journeyed with us in this series, you all know that when we started the month of November, we shifted gear and we started looking at the different parables of the Lord Jesus Christ that has something to do with money and possessions. Okay, in fact, this is something that is very noteworthy of the more or less 38 parables that Jesus shared, 19 of which actually dealt with possessions and money. Okay, it gives us a picture that Jesus is dead serious whenever we start talking about our own personal finance, all right? And I hope and pray that, you know, we've learned a lot of things so far as we conclude this series, and after that, we're going to have a brand new series for the month of December. All right, I want us to turn our Bibles for a while to Luke chapter 16. This is quite interesting. Look at this. What we're going to talk about here this afternoon, in fact, I actually had a hard time looking into this. The story that we're going to look at here this afternoon is actually one of the most difficult and least understood stories in the Bible. Okay, in fact, it's one of those things that's difficult to explain. But you know what, as a church, we're not going to skirt around it. We will talk about it. And I hope and pray that, you know what, we will have the wisdom to just sort this out and figure it out based on how God would want us to understand this very story. And this is actually a story of a dishonest manager. I want to say a show of hands for all. When you are working, okay, and you get paychecks on the 15th and 30th. Come on now. Okay, you're thankful to God that you have a job. You're proud of your job. Come on, I want to see your hand. Okay, all right, there they are, okay. Iba yung mga smile natin kasi coming December, 14th month is coming. All right. If you are here and you are an employee, I think, or I'd rather believe that, you know, the last thing that you would want to happen to you in your workplace is for you to get fired. I haven't met an employee who wanted to be fired, okay, from their job. And maybe there are people who wanted to resign, but basically nobody wants to get fired simply because it's going to reflect on your personal profile, okay? It's going to be difficult for you to land another job if you get fired from a previous job, right? And that is basically what we're going to talk about here this afternoon. You know, different companies have different grounds for termination, okay? Sometimes in other offices, I'm not sure with call centers, sometimes if you do office gossips, that's actually a ground for termination. In offices, if you gossip around, you gossip about your boss, okay? That's actually a grounds for termination, all right? In some offices, when you steal time by doing social media and Facebook in the middle of a job, okay, that's actually a ground for termination or maybe suspension. But if there's basically one common denominator when it comes to people getting terminated in their job, it is simply because of poor performance, right? You don't want to work with someone, okay, who performs poor in their job, and that is a cause of people getting fired from their job. And that is the story that we're going to look at here. This is the story of the shrewd manager. Okay, the story of the shrewd manager in other translation, okay, in the ESV, this is called the story of the dishonest manager. We're looking at the manager of a certain estate. Okay, the manager is shrewd. Okay, he was shrewd and he was also dishonest. Okay, for the benefit of everyone, I felt like I needed to define what shrewd is. According to Merriam-Webster, this is what shrewd means. There's basically a list of definition, but I want to zero in on one definition, which is this one. Shrewd basically means someone who is clever, right? Someone who is clever, or maybe you're talking about someone who's so wise. Okay, maybe in a Cebuano street dialect, you're talking about someone who is maru. You folks catch that? Okay, or street wise. All right, so it's something like that. Clever, maru, wise person. That's basically what a shrewd means. Okay, for the benefit of our discussion here this afternoon, we will stick with the word shrewd rather than the dishonest. But you have to put in mind that yes, we are talking about a dishonest person. Meaning to say, this afternoon, our subject is a sinful person. All right? A sinful person. Now, that doesn't mean that we cannot learn anything good from a sinful person. Right? Look at the person beside you for a while. Diba? May natutunan ka naman sa seatmate mo, diba? Kahit na minsan-minsan. Luke chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 down to verse 13. Okay, you can read along with me if you want to. Allow me to just narrate the story. You can follow with your eyes. I find the story interesting. You know, it's one of those nice stories in the Bible, though it's a little difficult to understand. But we're going to look at that this afternoon. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And charges were brought to him that this manager was wasting possessions. And he called him and said to him, Mr. Manager, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. In short, you are fired. Verse 3, and the manager said to himself, what shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So, calling his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? The person said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Last verse, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. Okay, there's something that I want us to understand. First things first, we're going to look at the story here, and after which we're going to look at the application of the story, okay? Verse 1 says, there was a rich man who had a manager. So first things first, we're talking about someone who is rich. The Bible says, there was a rich man. Look at the person beside you for a while. Mukhang ganyan ang konti. Bagay. Maraming bling bling. There was a rich man who had a manager. So first things first, there was a rich man. So here's the question. How rich was this rich man? Look at this one. This man was so rich, all right? He was so rich that he needed to have a money manager. All right? For someone to have someone to manage his money, that gives you a picture that that person is actually filthy rich. All right? Well, we have ever experienced something like that. Okay? Sobrang daming pera sa bahay niyo. Nalilito ka na, parang, Lord, sobrang dami ng blessings. Right? Maybe this is not really, you know, relevant to some of us. Pero siguro for us, what we need is not money manager. Maybe what we need is receipt manager. Right? Di ba yung wallet natin puno ng resibo? Right? That's what you need, a receipt manager. But for this guy, he was so rich that he needed to have a money manager. Okay? That's why it says here, there was a rich man who had a manager. So whenever you look at the word manager here, number one, you have to understand that whatever he has doesn't belong to him. He was simply a manager. In other translation, this man is called a steward. Okay? So if you try to relate this to our current generation right now, of course, we're talking about money. Okay, this manager right here basically is what? He is in charge of the real estate portfolio of his boss. He is in charge of the investment accounts of his boss. He is in charge of all the banking transactions of his boss. He is in charge of the investment and insurances of the entire family of his boss. You folks catch that? Guess what? At the end of the day, he is also in charge in what? In making the money grow for his boss. He was employed to keep his boss rich. You folks catch that? All right? But the Bible says there was a problem. The rich man and the money manager had a problem. So what was the problem? Okay, it says here, okay, the second part of verse 1, it says here, charges were brought to him that this manager was wasting his possessions. Right? Charges were brought to the owner that the manager was wasting his possessions. It was never indicated here that the manager was stealing. All right? It was never indicated here that the manager stole money from his boss. It's just that at the end of the day, when they were looking at their charts, their company was going down. Meaning to say, as a manager, I'm not sure if he was not skilled enough. As a manager, he was making what? He was making wrong decisions. His wrong decisions was basically costing the company lots and lots of money going down the drain. All right? So meaning to say, the boss hired someone to make things grow, but because of his poor decision-making, I don't know, maybe he was just lazy to think. Okay, he was sleeping on the job. We don't know. It was never mentioned there. All we know is that there is something wrong. All right? There is something wrong. And so what happened was, when rumors were circling in the company, maybe, that the company was going down, maybe the board of the company started talking to the owner that things were not falling right in place for them. So here's what he did. In verse 2, the owner called the manager and said to him, look at this one. I like this. What is this that I hear about you? Okay, that's how you deal with a problem. You start confronting each other. All right? Okay, I hope we learned that as Filipinos. If we have a problem with someone, you talk to that person, not to other people. Okay? Kuan lang yon. May pinanggagalingan lang yon. Okay? And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Look at this one. Turn in the account of your management. Look at this. For you can no longer be manager. You folks catch that? What was he doing? The owner of the company was like telling the manager, hey, I figured out that there's something wrong. I'm getting an auditor to audit you and everything that you have been doing. If in fact, even before doing that, the owner already has a decision. And the decision was that, for you can no longer be manager. Meaning to say, he was telling the money manager, friend, from this day on forward, you are fired. All right? You're fired because you are what? Underperforming. Okay? For those of you who are working, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? You know the looks from your boss. Okay? When you're not doing good in your offices. No, but the thing here is, for him to basically terminate his money manager, it gives you a picture that this was a verbal conversation between the two of them. So meaning to say, technically, the memo wasn't out yet. All right? The owner is yet to bring out an official memo telling everyone that this manager has already been fired. But between the two of them, they already know that he is already fired. You folks catch that? Okay? That's in verse 2. Now, here's what happened next. Look at this one. He wanted a full accounting of everything. In verse 3, look at this one. I like this. It's the turn of the manager now. Look at this one. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do? Let me just pause there for a while. Look at this one. You would observe that the money manager didn't argue his case. All right? The money manager didn't argue his case. Boss, what are you talking about? Everything is going well. He didn't argue his case. He simply said, what shall I do? The Bible says he started talking to himself. And sometimes ganyan tayo, pag pressured na tayo, we keep talking to ourselves. Right? Pag pressured tayo. That was what he was doing. What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? He didn't argue his case. It gives us a picture that the money manager is fully aware that he did something wrong. You folks catch that? Okay? Now, here's what he said. My master is taking the management away from me, meaning to say I'm not going to be manager anymore. And then he started thinking about his options. He started looking at himself, and he said, I'm not strong enough to dig. So he was thinking about, after being a manager, I could be a farmer. Or if not a farmer, ano bang job yung nagdidig? Tagahukay ng patay. So baka ganun. Siguro pang 2 days pwede, pero full-time job, tagahukay ng patay, hindi ko yata kaya. Kasi siguro, maliit lang yung frame niya. Tsaka siguro, manager siya, siguro pampered siya buong buhay niya. Then it also says here, I am also ashamed to beg. So, if there's one good thing that we could see about this manager was, he realizes his situation, and he started looking at all the options. He started laying down all the cards. This is an option, this is not an option, this is an option, this is not an option. He figured out, I need to do something. Folks, look at this one. If you're here this afternoon and you have problems financially, take the case of this manager right here. He wanted to do something. Listen, we do not embrace the name it, claim it theology. We do not just embrace prosperity preaching. That you know, you will wake up one day and all blessings under heaven is now on your doorsteps. You have to do something about your current situation. And that was what the manager was doing. He was thinking about his situation, looking at all of his options. Okay? And here is his solution. Okay? In verses 3 to 4, it says here, I have decided what to do. There's the what? What do you call that? The light bulb moment. Have you ever had those light bulb moments? Right? While you're taking the exam, there's light bulb moments. Man, parang okay yung light bulb moments. Ang mahirap niyan, yung parang alam mo na pero hindi mo maisulat. Di ba? Minsan may ganun tayo. Sinasabi natin, nasa tangko na pero hindi ko masabi. Okay, ibig sabihin nun, kulang ka sa aral. Right? I have decided what to do so that, look at this one, when I am removed from my management, people may receive me into their houses. It gives you a picture na medyo wise tong manager na to. Kasi iniisip niya, okay, next week, mawawalan ako ng trabaho. My friends, they don't know what has been happening. They don't know that I have been fired. So meaning that I have to devise a plan so that when I get sucked from a job, they will welcome me into their houses. Meaning to say, I get to sleep in someone else's house. So he devised a plan. So what was his plan? What was his plan? That was what we've read a while ago. He started calling all the clients of his master. Okay? In short, here's basically what he did. To secure his future, the manager started canceling client debts to gain favor from them once his termination becomes official. Are you following so far? It's something like this. He's the manager. He knows all the accounts. He knows that this person owes his owner this much. He knows that this person owes his owner this much. So his idea was, I'll call you guys. Hey guys, I'm going to cancel the debts in half. So if I'm going to cancel their debts in half, they're going to be thankful to me. Then when I get fired, I have favor from them. Okay? How big is the favor that we're looking at here? Look at this one. He said, how much do you owe my master? The first person, he said, 100 measures of oil. Look at this one. Let's try to think about this in a mathematical perspective. This oil right here is not canola oil. This is not baby oil. This is not vegetable oil. Guess what? This is olive oil. Right? Okay, this olive oil right here, if you try to compute that in our current standards right now, we're talking about how much of an olive oil. Look at this one. We're talking about 900 gallons of olive oil. The mothers here know what I'm talking about. Right? Divine. You don't just use olive oil para pamprito ng galunggong, ng isda. Vegetable oil gamit mo dun. Kasi olive oil, special yan. Special. 900 gallons of olive oil! And in their time, they don't have the technology to harvest olive oil easily. They have to get that and just extract oil from it. 900 gallons of olive oil. So here's what the manager did. You know what? I find this manager so funny. I wish we were friends, okay? I want to pick the brain of this guy. But anyway, call the guy. How much do you owe my master? Kailangan niya sama ng drama. 900 gallons? Yung utang mo sa boss ko? Grabe. Saan mo ginamit yan? You're so wasteful. Siguro ginano niya yun. Alam mo bro, saan niya upo ka? Let's sit down. I'll bring out the paper. Guess what? Here's what I'm gonna do for you as a manager. I'm gonna cancel that in half. So 900 became what? 450. The client right there was scratching his head in disbelief. What? It's gonna be just 450 now? Kulang na lang lumhod sa kanya yun. I mean, the guy was so thankful to him, and I don't know, maybe tears of joy was present in that place. Selfie muna tayo. Because testimony to. 450 from 900. So canceled half of it, 450. Guess what? Do you think that person is thankful to the manager? He was so thankful to the manager. Siguro sabi niya, ah, bro, thank you so much. By the way, pag wala kang matutulugan, pwede ka sa bahay anytime. Yun ang hinihintay niyang sagot. That's what he wanted to hear. So that's basically what he got from the person. It's the same thing that happened to the person who owed the wheat. He basically canceled all of their debts. What was he doing? To secure his future, that's what I said a while ago, the manager canceled. He started canceling the debts of the owner's clients to basically preserve himself. All right? Now, you know, people would always think that way, but you know what was shocking here? The most shocking verse here in this story is found in verse 8. Verse 8 says, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Now that's crazy. Imagine the client coming up to the owner. Sir, 450, ito na. Fully paid na ako, ha? We're even, we're done. What do you mean 450? Who said it's 450? It's supposed to be 900. No, here's the contract. It's now just 450 according to your manager. So meaning to say, the owner was what? He was cheated. Instead of being so angry, the Bible says in verse 8, he went to the manager. What did he do? Look at this one. He commended the manager for his shrewdness. So it was like, man. Take note of this one. He didn't commend the manager for his lying. He didn't commend the manager for his cheating. He simply commended his shrewdness. Meaning to say, he was like, Matay, biliban ako ni mo ba? Mayuhan ni mog utok? It was something like that. You know, he was blown away by the cleverness of his manager. Sayang, no? Sana ginamit niya yung cleverness na yon in being a manager. Okay, nung na-pressure siya, saka naging clever. Minsan ganun tayo during exams. When you cram for an exam, that's when you become good. Okay? The most shocking here is in verse 8, the master commended the manager for his shrewdness. So, let me just talk about the big idea here. Look at this one. Jesus here is giving what? A good lesson from a negative experience. Right? We're talking about a story of a dishonest manager. It's true, the Bible is full of positive stories. You could always get positive lessons from positive stories. This is one of those rare cases wherein you get good lessons from a negative person or from a sinful person for that matter. In fact, he continued, look at this one in verse 8. The master commended a dishonest manager, look at this one. He said something, look at this, I want us to catch this. For the sons of this world, he said, are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. What is Jesus talking about here? For some reason, after sharing the story, Jesus started what? Categorizing that there's basically just two people in the world. The sons of the world and the sons of light. Who are the sons of light? Come on now. Who are the sons of light? Look at the person beside you for a while. That's the son of light. When you talk about the sons of light, you're talking about us, the Christian people, those who are following Jesus Christ. But look at this one. Jesus said, the sons of this world, those who are unbelievers, are what? Are more clever, are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Jesus was like saying, hey, Christians, look at how they do things because basically you can actually learn from them. What is one thing that we can learn from this one? Just because someone isn't a Christian doesn't mean that you cannot learn something from them. Come on now. This man right here, his name is Jack Ma, founder and owner of Alibaba. Look at this one. The man isn't a Christian. He's not a Christian. But guess what? You will learn a lot of things from this man whenever we start talking about entrepreneurial stuff more than a Christian man who loves blubbering verses yet is broke. You folks catch that? Meaning to say, Jesus was like saying, look at how they do things and learn from them. Jesus was like saying, if there's a group of people in this world who should be so shrewd, it has to be you guys. It has to be us. Kung merong mga clever sa world na to, kung merong mga streetwise, kung merong mga magaling mag-negotiate, magaling mag-negosyo, it has to be the Christian people. He's trying to contrast the sons of the world and the sons of light right here. In this story, I want us to understand this. In this story, Jesus is advocating shrewdness. He's not advocating sinfulness. He is simply advocating shrewdness. Okay? When it comes to finance and wealth, folks, Christians shouldn't be at the bottom end of the chain. That's basically what Jesus wants us to understand here. Being shrewd is not equivalent to being sinful. Being shrewd is not equivalent to being sinful. That's why in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, if you remember this, Jesus himself said, "Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Meaning to say, you can be so wise in this world, in your dealing, whether that's in business, being an employee, being a mom, being a dad. But that doesn't mean that you have to cross the line and start sinning just because you are shrewd. In short, God wants you, look at this one, God wants you to have divine wisdom to even be able to produce wealth. I don't know, for some reason, I want you to think about this for a while. If you've read the Old Testament, you would come to understand the enormous gifts and promises that God gave Abraham. Right? God gave so much promises, a lot of promises to the nation of Israel. Look at this one. If you read the book of Proverbs, you would see a lot of practical steps if you want to succeed in this life. Now, here's another thing to seal the deal. If you read the New Testament, you would come to understand that as a person of the New Covenant, all of those things basically point to you. At the end of the day, what is our excuse for us to not be shrewd for that matter? Here I hope and pray that we don't live a defeated life. I hope everybody understands that just because your earning is this much, and then what we do sometimes, we blame our family, we blame the economy. A lot of times, God can just open your eyes and give us the wisdom to be able to make our money grow, for that matter. All we have to do is be shrewd and not be lazy thinking that, you know what, there's going to be money tomorrow, there's going to be money tomorrow. Yes, there's going to be money tomorrow if you work hard today. So what are some practical ways? Since we're talking about faith and finance, what are some practical ways at which we could be shrewd personally and for a family? One way is through what? Saving and investing. Look at this one. Number one, I want us to understand this. If you're here and you've graduated from college and you are a guy, you don't have a job, first things first, look for a job. I hope the guys that we have here in the church are not kidults. You know what a kidult is? A kid who is an adult. I hope as much as you love your PS4, you also love making money from your job to provide for your future family or your current family right now. If you're here and you've been working for at least 5 years now and you still don't have any savings, you have to go back to the story right here. Archie, I think I cannot invest because I don't have extra money to invest. Guess what? Do you folks realize that you can invest with 500 pesos? A month. You know what I like about this? At the end of the day, this is not for God. This is for you. In this temporal life that we live here on this earth. Another way at which we become shrewd is what? Through wise spending. Well, me here, you love mall sale. I love mall sale. My wife knows it. As a guy, I love mall sale. But guess what? There's so many things that I want to buy. Sometimes what my wife and I will do, itutulog muna namin. Pag kinabukasan, nandun pa rin, pagpiprayan namin. Pag kinabukasan, wala na. Hindi will ni Lord. A lot of times, hindi will ni Lord. Sabi ko nga sa misis ko, parang tagal masiro ng sapatos ko. Why spending? Third one is negotiating. I don't know, for some reason, these are just some practical steps. These are not all the things that we need to understand. I don't know, for some reason, sometimes as Christians, we think, man, I'm a Christian, that's why I shouldn't negotiate. You go rent an apartment, the landlord tells you, this is 15,000 pesos. Okay.
Why not try to haggle it at 11,000, at 8,000 pesos? Malay mo, pumasok. Inisip niya, the people of the world, they love negotiating. Tayo naman, parang nahihiya tayo kasi Christian tayo. All the more that we have to be shrewd because we need to save up money to what? To help advance God's kingdom. Come on now. I wish I could tell you testimonies of how we haggle a lot of things in the church. But that's not for today, okay? Contracts. Sister in Christ, brother in Christ, let's get into a business because you're my sister in Christ, you're my brother in Christ, no contract. O nag-away kayo tuloy. Because you're not being wise. In fact, getting into a contract will save your relationships. Hard work and not easy money. You know, older people know this. Look at this one. Who am I here? You consider yourself a millennial. I want to see your hand. You're a millennial. Those who were born from 1980 up until 1995, 1998. Can I see your hand for a while? You know what people in America, the older generations, are calling us? Oh, millennial ako, ha? FYI lang po sa mga older people. Huwag kayong magpapo. Millennial to. You know what they call us? They call us cupcakes. Because we're so futile in our decision making, we're so soft inside, we love jumping from one job to another, we don't want to persevere, we don't want to endure. That's why they call us cupcakes. Older generation can give you a good reason for hard work. There's no substitute for hard work. If you're here and you are a guy and you are a slacker, learn to work hard. Especially if you're about to provide for your family. Hindi ako galit, ha? Generosity. Every Christian who reads their Bible know that if you want to be prosperous in this lifetime, you will have to be generous. The 10 and the 90. You give your tithes, but that is not everything. Just because you give your tithe, that doesn't mean you're going to prosper. Because the 90 is also very, very important. The way you manage the 90% of your income. Keen observation. You know, this is what I always love. Keen observation. Guess what? If you're here and you are entrepreneurial, all you have to do is open your eyes, look around you. You would come to understand that there's a lot of opportunities around you. If you're here and you are a student, well, you're a student and you want additional income. You want additional income. Come on now. Because you want to buy your gadget. You want to buy this. You want to save up. When I was in college, my brother would send me money for my allowance. My dad would send me money. But you know, I feel like I want to save more. As a college student, you know what I did? I sold detergents. I sold cigarettes here in Siliman. I sold fabric softener, Comfort. I sold charms and crystals. You guys know that? Charms and crystals by Chris Aquino. My cousin is a supplier. She brought everything here. You can actually make something pay up for something in your home. All you have to do is just look at the opportunities around you. Guess what? Tayo yung Christian. Ang sabi sa Bible, every spiritual blessing under heaven belongs to us. Tayo yung nagbabasa ng Bible, so dapat tayo yung may alam how to go about this in this life. Financial management. The other one is very important. Kingdom partnerships. When was the last time you partnered with a missionary, cross-cultural missionary, or campus missionaries, 10 days missioners, business papers, among so many other things. You know, in college, I learned something. I learned that when God created the world has enough for everyone's needs. But guess what? The world doesn't have enough for everyone's greed. The reason why we're having a lot of problems right now, our problem basically is greed. Our problem is contentment. In verse 9 here, it says here, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. I promise you, I'm not kidding you. I spent 30 minutes in this one verse last night. I spent 30 minutes studying this text. I was like, am I going to preach this tomorrow? Lord, why are you telling us to do things through unrighteous wealth? And I realized when I was studying this, or rather, I learned unrighteous wealth here, means of unrighteous wealth here, this is just a general description of wealth, basically. It's something like this. Unrighteous here is a general description of the notion given to wealth. This does not suggest that you have to sin in order to get wealth. Take note, we are looking at a negative example. That's why it pertains to money as unrighteous wealth. Right? That's why it pertains to money as that. So, what is this verse teaching us? Look at this one. It says here, you make money, you use your money to make friends. Makes sense. It makes sense. Because where do you have deep fellowships? Where do you have deep conversations? You do that over lunch. You do that over a meal. You do that over a cup of coffee. So what Jesus was basically teaching them, you know, this is very practical. What he was basically saying is what? Be generous and make friends. Have you ever met a person who's generous, yet he or she is lonely? I don't think so. A generous person always have a lot of friends. That's what Jesus was saying. Be generous and make friends. But here's the catch. Look at this one. Jesus was not saying, because he said something in the second part of the story, of the verse, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Now he starts talking about heaven. You know what he's saying here? Jesus was saying, be generous. Use your money. Use your money to make friends. But guess what? You don't just make friends for the sake of making friends. You make friends so that you can bring them to Christ. That's what he is basically teaching here. Folks, listen. Gifts are very, very important. Look at this one. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Bible says, a gift opens the way for the giver. Have you ever given a gift to someone tapos nakasimangot pa sila? Binigyan mo ng napakagandang regalo, pagkabigay mo tapos galit pa sa'yo. Every person to whom you give a gift always have a smile on their face. Diba? Tapos pag inutusan mo, umoo. Binigyan mo ng regalo. Bro, pahingin tubig. Kumuha ng tubig, ang bait. Binigyan mo ng regalo eh. You give gifts to people who are not Christians. You give them gifts. You tell them, hey bro, attend ka naman sa Victory. 3 p.m. service. For some reason, umuoo. Oh, sige. Try natin this Sunday. Because gifts open the way for the givers. Our problem is this one. Our problem is, we go out there, we invite people for lunch, for dinner, and this is our thinking. I pray, you pay. Yan ang problema ng Kristiyano. Sa atin yung spiritual aspect, financial aspect, sa inyo na yan. Listen, if you're a Christian, tapos burden ka to other people, then you're not being a blessing. You're not bringing them closer to Christ. Just saying. By the way, you know what? I love the fact that you know what? A lot of our church members here open up their small businesses, startups. Okay, the best Japanese restaurant in Dumaguete, the Gyokoju. All right? If you want your pores to be invisible, go to Skin 911. Kasi may mga ganun yung mga taga-church natin ngayon. Be generous, win friends for Christ. Then it says here, so that when it fails, it there talks about money. Look at this one. It says, when it fails. It doesn't say, if it fails. Ibig sabihin, money will fail. That's a fact. Money will fail. What does it mean? When does money fail? Money fails when we die. For some of us here, in our lifetime, money will fail at a certain point in our life. But for some people, for other people, money will fail when they die. What are we talking about? You can't bring a penny or a coin to heaven. The richest person in the world, the richest people in the world, they cannot bring their money to heaven if they're going to heaven. They cannot bring their money to hell as well. You folks catch that meaning? Money will fail. When it fails, it says here, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. You know what this means? The people that you want to Christ, the moment you die, they welcome you in heaven. Ibig sabihin, nauna silang namatay. So what's the progression here? Look at this one. This is the progression of Jesus Christ. This is quite lengthy. First one, he said, be shrewd, be wise, be clever, look around you, look for opportunities. This is what Pastor Dennis was sharing last week. Be shrewd. After that, he says, make money. When you have money, be generous. After which, use your generosity to win friends to Christ after that you die. 90 years old, 95 years old. Guess what happens next? Friends you won welcome you in heaven. But of course, first things first, be shrewd. You want to make money? You want to make money? Be shrewd. How would you use your money to bring people to Christ? We have different ways of doing that. Like, I don't know. All you have to do is just be generous to people. Like what I said, people will always say yes to you. As long as ikaw ang taya. Verse 10 says, I want to end with this. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? You know what this verse is teaching us? It says here, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, talking about what? Our temporal life right now. 80 years of being here in this world. Temporal life, temporary. Who will entrust you with the true riches? The Bible is telling us, after this, look at this one. After this, the Bible says there are true riches in eternal life. When I was reading this, naisip ko lang, ibig sabihin nito, konting tiis lang. While we are here on this earth, tiis lang konti. Hanggang 85 lang to, hanggang 90 lang to. Huwag ka magsusuicide, ha? Gusto mong to shorten it. Tiis lang konti. May high season, may low season. May panahon na masaya, may panahon na malungkot. Basta tiis lang konti. Persevere, that's what the Bible says. That's why the Bible teaches us to what? To fix our eyes on Jesus. To look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So while we're doing that, God should make sure that you could be entrusted with what? With worldly wealth. Because if you cannot be entrusted with worldly wealth, how could you be entrusted with true riches? You know what the true riches is? Those are your rewards in heaven. Folks, guess what? When everything is said and done, you will have rewards in heaven. That depends on how you live your life here on earth. And a lot of times, it has something to do with how you handle money. Or rather, how money handled you, which is a dangerous thing. Last verse, I want to end with this. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Then Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. Folks, look at this one. If you know history, if you're aware of the history of slavery in the United States, a Negro slave cannot be owned by two masters. If that would be the case, it would be something like this. For example, I am the Negro slave, and Mav and Martin are my two owners. You know what's going to happen? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll work for Mav. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'll work for Martin. At the end of the day, guess what? At the end of the day, that's not an issue to me. I can always work for them. The problem is, the value of Mav as a family is different from that of Martin. Their value as a family are different from that of Mav. So at the end of the day, the issue here is not on the slave or the servant. The issue is basically on the masters. That's why Jesus was very clear. You cannot serve. You cannot worship two gods. And it started naming the other god. It's God and money. You serve money, it's going to pull you away from God. you serve God, you will have money. That is for sure. Money is a wonderful tool, but a horrible God. I want to end this by, you know, talking about two things that we have as a people. There's what we call the prosperity theology. There's also what we call the poverty mentality or the poverty theology. Prosperity theology says, as long as you love God, you will have money. Right? Prosperity preachers would tell us, as long as you love God, things will fall right in place for you. I don't think so. Bakit si Paul, puro beating? Bakit si Job, puro persecution? Puro lost? Mahal naman nila si Lord. You folks catch that? That's what we call prosperity theology. That's actually false. The other extreme of that is poverty mentality. People think, especially in the Philippines, the less you have, the holier you are. Ank. False. At the end of the day, I want us to understand this. You are not closer to God if you have a lot of stuff. Okay, you're not closer to God if you have no stuff. You can't get any closer to God than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? As we conclude this series, my prayer is that Jesus is our ultimate source of joy. Jesus is our ultimate source of happiness. Whether there's 13th month, 14th month, salary or no salary, whether there's provision or no provision, whether there's sickness or there's no sickness, whatever happens in our life, we will persevere, we will keep smiling, we will keep praising God in good times or low times. Because Jesus is the source of our joy. Jesus basically completes us. Amen.